Remember 2 weeks ago when we sat in Psalm 116 all week? We watched the psalmist say, "Oh, what shall I give to God for all of his benefits to me?" What a wonderful response. As the psalmist watched, that as he focused on God, God was that faithful overseer with compassion and understanding of his situation. Last week, we got in a boat. We thought it was all over. We began to throw things out of the boat to lighten the weight of the boat, and suddenly there was this person sacked out in the boat, sound asleep. We were disturbed and wondered, "Master, don't you care?" And we began to see again that God is a faithful overseer with compassion and understanding of our situation. We went from a boat to a road and into a home then. And we noticed again a faithful God overseeing situations in life, expressing compassion in every situation, a compassion and understanding of what was really going on. How special. As you walk through this week, I hope that word focus is taking on new and richer meaning to you. That when you arrive at your office today and can barely find your desk, that when you go through your to-do list and say, "My goodness, I think it'll take me a month to do it," that you realize, "Wait a minute. No, I can focus on a God who understands my to-do list, what my desk looks like, and all the things I have to get done." But I also trust that this will be a unique week in your life in another way. We live in a world that has such a me focus. I need this. What will I get out of it? What's in it for me? And then, granted, we move from that to a God focus. To discover the character of God. Faithful. Overseer. Compassionate. Understanding. All those ingredients of God. But then that God wants to lead me to an others focus. To really see others. Jesus didn't just see a blur of people as he talked to the thousands on the hillside. They were real individuals. And they moved him to compassion. It's my prayer that this week we would have new and deeper understanding of the shoes others walk in, that God would help us see beyond ourselves to others. In fact, let me pray to that end, all right? Lord, thank you that you have put us in the world, that we are not hermits in a cave, we're people in the current of life. And today we'll be with all kinds of people. Lord, may we not see them as just tools to success on our journey of accomplishment. May we have compassion for them. May we have an awareness of their presence. Lord, give us your eyes at work today. Your eyes to see who's there. To be sensitive as to what they're really going through. Sensitize us to the people around us, that we would express genuine compassion towards them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good time at work. I'll look forward to being with you tonight. How are you? What happened at work today? Who did you notice? Who did you see with new eyes, with new insight, with new understanding? That was special, wasn't it? And as you're at home tonight, maybe that's the atmosphere to build at dinner. An atmosphere that talks about who is in your life, So often with our children in school, the focus is, how are you doing in this subject and how are you doing in this subject? Many times I'll say to a dad, who are the 5 most special friends of your son and of your daughter? So often a father won't even know their names. Or may know their names, and I say, well, what's he like? What's she like? Or, well, who are your children's teachers? It's just so easy for life to be nothing more than things we do rather than people we are with. And that's why, well, often with sons and daughters, I'll say, where does your dad work? Many times they don't even know that. Or if they do, then I'll say, well, who are the people with whom he works? What are some of their names? And what are they like? And again, so many times children don't know that. And I'd love for you tonight to begin, and I'm sure for a lot of you, it just means extending a people understanding of who's in your world and who's in the world of your wife and your children when you're apart during the day. And therefore, why don't you ask this question? Who were some people that you were with today? For example, with whom did you eat lunch? And, well, how are they? How are they doing? What are they like? Here's the goal. When dinner's over, that you know the names of some of your sons and daughters and wife's best friends. And that you also know one way to care for them. Maybe here's a friend of your daughter's and she's having a difficult time with her parents. And it would be special for you to know that now as a family you might pray for that girl in relation to her mom and dad. Maybe here's a boy that's on an athletic team with your boy. And he's so discouraged because he isn't playing well, and so he's sitting on the bench. How wonderful for your family to pray for that boy and to really later on extend encouragement to that boy that he wouldn't give up in playing that sport. I would encourage you then, as you come to closing dinner time, pray as a family. And again, maybe you pray for the friend of the person on your right. So if Dean's friend is Phil, and Dean is on my right, I pray for Dean and his relationship to Phil. And now you see what happens. Have one of your children pray for a person at your office, somebody in your workaday world with whom you associate. You see, you build a family as a praying, caring group. Have a good time giving that kind of leadership tonight, Dad. God bless you. I'll see you in the morning. It's a large group of people. It's a sensitive Christ. It's a world with lots of people. It's God raising up sensitive people to express his love to those many people. But Chuck, I can't care for everybody. I know that. Neither can I. But we can care for someone. And often it just helps to identify those in your schedule today. And as you're with them, express care. Let me pray with us to that end. Lord, I thank you for the staggering servant Christ is, that you enter my life and express profound interest and concern for me. And Lord, I pray that you will release me to express profound interest and concern for others. Lord, at work today, help me to ask servant questions. In talking to a man in the office, free me to say, well, how's your wife? How are your kids doing? How are you feeling about having a son at the university 500 miles away? Lord, free me to, at work today, ask the secretary how she is, how her marriage is, how her roommates are, how her weekend was. Lord, may people realize that they are not tools in my life to help me advance up the ladder of accomplishment, but they are special friends that I long to serve. Lord, give us compassion for the people we'll be with today. And may we express that compassion through servant questions. And then, Lord, as they answer the questions and tell us about their son or daughter or neighbor or roommates or whatever, may we take that information and pray for them through the day, through the week. May we not only know Christ, may we extend his compassion in the world that he died for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day. I have a surprise for you on the way home. Remember that surprise I told you about on the way home today? Well, I guess I think it's a surprise. Maybe it isn't good to call a surprise, but it's another song. It's my friend John Byron. But listen to the text of this song. It's on the bread of life. It's a profound statement. And let it just minister to you, all right? And I would hope God would use it to further sensitize you to the lost world in which we live, that world indeed that just seems to be filled with sheep without a shepherd. Enjoy the surprise and let the surprise minister to you, all right? God bless.
I sat down at the meal of life to enjoy a plate of food. To my great disappointment, it wasn't very good. It left my soul still hungry, and it did not satisfy the longing I had always had for an everlasting life. Bread of life, bread of life, feed me with eternal food. I'm so hungry for the nourishment that comes from only you. My life would fade to nothing were it not for what you gave. Allow my soul to live. I heard the words of Jesus to the crowd down by the sea. He said they were so foolish to seek the bread that leaves, but fools will still go hungry while they search to find new food, till they find the bread that Jesus gives and see their hearts renewed. Bread of life, bread of life, feed me with eternal food. I'm so hungry for the nourishment that comes from only life would fade to nothing were it not for what you gave. When you feed me with your bread of life and allow my soul to live. The world prepares a feast each day to feed the hungry, expecting to be nourished. He leaves with empty hands. If he and in his love believe. The bread of life would satisfy his everlasting need. Bread of life, bread of life, feed me with eternal food. I'm so hungry for the nourishment that comes from only you. My life would fade to nothing were it not for what you give. When you feed me with your bread of life and allow my soul to live. When you feed me with your bread of life and allow my soul to live.
It was interesting to watch how the disciples wanted to solve the problem this morning, wasn't it? Would you have done the same? Lord, they've been here a long time. Lord, they're really hungry. Lord, send them home so they don't die of hunger. And Christ's compassionate response of, well, wait. I'd like us to solve the problem. I'd like us to do it. You know, I'm certain that you and I have been tremendously impacted by people who've given to us. And see, that's the joy of your vocation, whatever it is. Carpenter, contractor, lawyer, banker, doctor, teacher, coach, whatever. An opportunity to give to others. Let's just pray to that end, all right? Lord, I know that often it's easy for my life to focus on the things I have to do rather than on the person I'm to be. And I get caught up and I have letters to write and I have checks to write and I have meetings to attend and pretty soon I'm just doing 100 things. And in the doing, often I lose a spirit of thankfulness. And I have support people around me, and instead of my creating an aroma of thankfulness and praise and appreciation, I create an aroma of deadlines to meet. Things that have to get out yesterday. Lord, help me to be that man that is a servant to all of those around me. A man that says thank you. A man that's appreciative. A man that realizes I've been positioned in my vocation to represent Christ. To be that caring servant that says, how can I help? Lord, when I'm in a situation, may people stand taller. Because I've complimented them and said thank you and built them up. Lord, thank you that you are that God who serves me. Release me through your power to serve others. Even at work today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi. You ready for a great night? You know, what I want to encourage you to do tonight, and I know, keep adapting. You know, you say, but I'm not at home with my family tonight, Chuck. Well, tuck this suggestion away, and sometime soon, do it when you're with your family, will you? We're going to call it sort of a thank you night. And the focus of the thank you is on people who have really encouraged you. They've gone the second mile. They've enriched your life. Our kids love to do this. You know, we go way back, and Kathy and I begin to talk about college professors and ways that they encouraged us and friends that they have met or that they've never met and ways those friends have encouraged us. For example, One of my college professors was Dr. Lois Labar. Today she's in her mid to late 70s, a dear godly woman. In her Christmas letter this year, she wrote a little note after the formal letter to me. And her note revealed something. It revealed that in the letters I have sent to a large mailing list, she has absorbed every letter. She has been a person who still cares. And in her note to us, she said, well, how's Kathy's music coming? How's Scott's business doing? How is Dean doing in student government and in soccer? What's happening with Christie's singing voice? You know, here she is. In the golden years of life, her health is marginal, and she still enriches my life. You know, and I read it, I just sat and wept. And I took it to the kids and I said, read this. The other night a man called, his name is Don. It's a long distance call to call us. And Don said, well, Chuck, it's Don, just want to know how you're doing. Oh, we talked probably for 45 minutes. He just wanted to care. I hope that your kids know specific people who have cared for you and that they know some of the ways they've cared. And I trust that then you'll encourage your sons and daughters to talk about people that have cared for them. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a grandfather. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a playmate. But stop tonight to talk about people by name in specific ways they enriched your life. Oh, you'll have a great time at dinner. Have a super time. I'll see you in the morning. God bless you. We leave a hillside. We enter a busy city, the city of Jerusalem. We enter the temple. Wow. How would you like to have been that woman? Caught in the act of adultery, marched into a social setting, the finger was pointed at you, but more than that, you're a supervisor. You're the one in charge. Here's Jesus, the one in charge. What kind of an atmosphere do you create? What really goes on? How do you handle pressure like that? Let me just pray with us about that, all right? Lord, leadership is filled with burdens. Decision making is filled with tension. Leadership is not all some people think it's cracked up to be. Lord, I remember this summer walking with a friend on a golf course. And that following day or a couple of days later, he had to fire an employee. And I remember the torment that my friend was going through and the struggle that was going on inside him. And the godly friend of mine having to wrestle with that holy balance of warmth and responsibility, that holy balance of being a loyal friend and yet being a responsible supervisor. Lord, I just have a hunch that there are some men who've read John 8, 1 to 11 this morning and they can identify. They're sort of in the Jesus position. And there's the tension that mounts up with, what do I do? How do I respond? And Lord, I pray that whatever we're known for, we would be known as compassionate men. And Lord, that's almost a contradiction in terms in our culture. Macho and compassion don't go together. But Lord, I pray that in the midst of being compassionate men, we would be honest, men of integrity, men of loyalty, men of understanding. Lord, you so control us that in the work environment of today, whatever it is, that we would be there to express love, genuineness, authenticness. Bring that about, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day at work. God bless you, and whatever be the responsibility that is yours, how are you? Good day at work? Lot done? I hope so. And as you head home tonight, I want to take us back to that John 8 passage this morning, the woman taken in adultery. You know, it's such a significant issue for the male. Because what is our leadership style? And to discover the breadth of Christ, just watch his sensitive leadership style. A woman. The facts are in. What will he say? Because you see, Dad, isn't it true that again and again, there's that situation at home. Here's the informer. Here's the one who's caught. What do you do? Years ago, in my study of Scripture, I found that there are two pictures in the Bible, really essential pictures for life, essential pictures for fathering. In the Bible, we have the authoritative picture. God is the authority over the universe. God is in charge. But we also have the relational picture. God the friend. God the one who comes alongside us. In culture, we have the authoritative picture, the employer over the employee, the husband in gracious leadership in the family and so on. And we have the relational picture, friend, companion, pal, and so on. I think all of us in our natural state will have a bent one way or the other. Some have a very authoritative manner. That may not be their heart, but that's sort of their manner. Others have a very relational manner. Whenever you're around them, you just always sense easy flow. To be godly, to reflect the character of God, takes both pictures. There are times when I move into the authoritative picture and must take charge and must deal with decisions that are difficult to make. And finally, the negotiation is completed, or there's no more room for negotiation and authority has to come down. And that reflects some of the character of God. There are also other times when it's the relational bent. It's the, well, how are you doing? It was good to be friends. And that's the manner. And that also reflects the character of God. When you talk to Jesus in the Gospels, who is the God of authority, and you said, who are you? His favorite term was, I'm the Son of Man, a very relational term. A term that says, I'm like you. When Jesus could have said, I'm the creator of the universe. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. Boy, it would have blown people out of the boat. But there's that balance. Jesus now with the woman. Pressed to take authority. And he did. He told her to go and sin no more. But oh, he first met her relationally. They don't condemn you? Neither do I. Oh, And the challenge I feel of fathering is right here. When my son Dean was in elementary school, it seemed that he could walk through a room, and when he got to the other side, the room looked like a direct hit. And yet as he walked through the room, he didn't touch a thing. Or we'd say, well, Dean, would you pass this to pineapple juice? And as he would, suddenly, you would have a whole pitcher of pineapple juice spilled over the table, dripping over the sides of the table down in the carpet. It was horrible. And I was always in the authoritative picture with him. And it, I didn't like it, and he didn't like it. And finally, one morning, when I was alone with the Lord, I heard some noise. Dean always got up between 5 and 5:30. I knew Mr. Bounce was up. And I said, hey, come here, buddy. He came into my desk. And I showed him the authoritative picture, one over another. And then I showed him the relational picture, people alongside of. And I said to him, Dean, which picture do you like the most? He said, oh. And he pointed to the relational picture. And he said, I like the relational picture. I said, why? And he said, well, you sense they're buddies. They're pals. And then I made the mistake of saying, Dean, which picture do you think I like the most? And he pointed to the authoritative picture. Well, I about died. But oh, what a lesson. And it became a great tool, for I said, Dean, let me tell you something. I hate the authoritative picture. I don't like to have to be an authority in your life. I like to be your friend most of all. That we can throw the ball together and swim together and laugh together and wrestle together. So I don't like that authoritative picture either. So we came up with a special agreement. The agreement is this. Dean, you know what's happening? You're shoving me to get into that picture that neither of us really enjoy. It became a wonderful tool to help each of us with, yes, there may be a moment when the authoritative picture is needed. But let's do all we can to move first from the base of relationship, from the base of companionship, from the base of the relational picture. And if needed, yes, we will go to the authoritative picture, but let's try not to start there. You know, I find that so many fathers who are successful in their vocations come home and run or endeavor to run the home like the office. In your business, you may well be in an authoritative role. You'll probably find when you come home and try to run your family that way, it won't work, especially with teenagers. I've watched hundreds of teenagers bolt the barn because the relational picture was thin and the authoritative picture was strong. I would hope that John 8 would say a lot to you and to me about the character of God. It's not relational picture or authoritative picture. It's not faith or grace. It's not trust or obey. It's not the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's all. There will be times when you'll need to slide into the authoritative picture. But oh, lay a wonderful relational base. And you'll find the times when you need to take the authoritative picture will diminish in number. Let me just pray with us about that. Lord, thanks that you as a holy God are a God of authority. So we have a sense that things are not out of control. But thank you also, Lord, that you are a God of relationship. That you get down where I am to love me there. And I pray that you would free us as dads to do that. Please, Lord, help me to be the friend, whatever the cost, even if I have to apply authority at some point. Release us to know the power of God in all these matters. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good time just digesting authoritative picture and relational picture and growing in breadth with both pictures. God bless you. I'll see you in the morning. It's an old hymn, but it says a lot, doesn't it? It's the woman in adultery. How would you feel if you were her? But face it, we've all sinned. And when we stand with all the file drawers of our life exposed, my, the lady taken in adultery has nothing in us. And we're placed in the presence of Jesus, and he's pressed to condemn us. And listen to the words of the hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. The Christ who says, I forgive. I went to a cross to die, to cover your sins from the sight of the Father, to extend forgiveness to you. Grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Here's the phrase, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. What a great piece of news. Let's pray and enjoy the news. Father, I thank you that in a world that so dehumanizes us, that you don't. In a world where we have to, or don't have to, but where so often we cover up what we aren't, that we can expose to you what we aren't, and know we're forgiven and loved. Lord, I thank you that in a world that so often is so battering and so demeaning, in a world where often we're driven by fear of failure, that you're a Christ who frees us to expose the failure, to confess the sins, and to know the warmth of your love. And Lord, I pray for my friend today, that it would be a day of great freedom, set free by the forgiving Christ, set free to become more than he ever dreamed he could become, set free to soar, not through our energy, but through God's empowering Holy Spirit energy. Lord, in a world that condemns, we come to a Christ who forgives. Lord, in a world that destroys, we come to a Christ who upholds and who builds up. Father, I pray for the man who is down in himself and who feels that everybody at work is down in him, and that maybe even his wife is down on him and his kids are down on him. Lord, I pray that he would hear your words. I don't condemn you, but go. Sin no more. Lord, may we find courage and strength in the forgiveness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'll see you tonight. Well, hooray. Another week. Well, another business week. It's Friday night. The weekend's ahead. You know, I think I know a lot of men who, even as they drive home, are sort of like the woman caught in adultery. They feel guilty. When they hear the word family, what they hear is, I failed. Even when they hear the word marriage, they hear, I failed. If that's where you are, I want you to know the excitement of the Christian life is every day is a new beginning. I'm not a great father. I can remember the pain when my 8-year-old son quietly let me know he felt he didn't know me. Oh, he's almost 18 today. We become great buddies. Wow. But you know what? I had to change. I had to admit I'd been so busy, I had to change my schedule. And God helped me. That was what was great. God helped me. I want you to have a great weekend. Not in your power, but with God's power. Have a good time building one another. Your wife. Maybe there's a weekend for your wife. Take her to dinner tonight or tomorrow night. Just romance her with care, with understanding. Maybe this is a weekend to build up your son or daughter. Maybe you see that you've just been in the authoritative picture so much with your daughter. If she'd just behave right. Maybe this is a weekend to go for a walk with her. Maybe show her the relational picture and the authoritative picture and do what I did with my son and just find a new sense of bonding and intimacy between you and your daughter. Maybe you'll say to the family as a whole or to one member of the family or to everybody in the family, what's something you'd like to do with your dad by Sunday night? And just invest in your family this weekend. Don't see yourself as a failure with one of your kids or your wife or all your kids. See yourself as one who's growing. Growing because God releases us to grow and have a great weekend growing, will you? I want to be a grower. Join me, okay? And I'm excited to talk to you sometime over the weekend. Have a great weekend. God bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. How's the weekend going? Good time? As you've reviewed the two passages we've been in this week, I hope it's brought home to you the issue of care, the issue of compassion. Remembering people who've cared for you, and then focusing your care and compassion on others during your week. Might be good sometime over the weekend to interact more so in people who've cared for you or to spend more time talking about people that you're caring for. Or maybe the passage that was so key for you this week has been John 8, the experiencing forgiveness passage. Maybe this is a passage that you're going to go into more deeply over the weekend. Maybe there's something between you and your wife. And there's a forgiveness issue that needs dealt with. Maybe between you and your son, you and your daughter. Mainly, I just want you to have a good weekend. And as you come to the end of the weekend, I hope that you've gathered your family together. And that maybe in the little Vote for Busy Men booklet, and in a piece of paper that they have as well, as a family, you'll talk about what's something you're doing this week. Let them know something in your schedule. Find out things in their schedule. Along with that, who's someone you'll be with this week that you want to encourage? And again, let the kids know, let your wife know, somebody at work you're going to be with, you want to encourage. Who's someone your wife wants to be with and encourage? And same with your children. See, the beauty is, as a godly family disperses, we disperse into our culture to bring love and warmth and care and concern to those around us. Before your weekend's over, gather your family, why don't you? Identify things you're going to do and people who will be in those things and those activities that you want to encourage. Even as I'm doing this tape, I'll soon leave the studio, maybe in 10 minutes. And you know where I'll go? To a soccer field. Why? Well, my son plays in the team. Oh, I'll cheer my lungs out for him. I'll pray for him. And I'll also be praying for every boy on that team. And for his parents. That on the bleachers and along the sidelines and that prior to the game and after the game, I'll give words of encouragement to specific people. Help your family catch that aroma, will you? God bless you and continue to have a good weekend. I'll see you Monday morning. We've got a good time coming up next week. I'll see you then.